Hello and welcome to the Joyful Doctor podcast. My name is Dr. Caroline Walker, and in today's episode, you'll be hearing from another inspiring healthcare professional all about managing the highs and lows of life as a caring person. Keep listening to find out how you can bring more joy into your life. Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Joyful Doctor podcast. I'm delighted to have with me a really good friend and colleague, Katie Gough. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, Caroline. Hello.
It's lovely to have you with us. Do you want to let the listeners know a little bit about you?
Yes, thank you very much for having me on. My name is Katie Gough. I'm a consultant anaesthetist. I've been a consultant for the last 10 years, working in a busy DGH, interested in obstetric anaesthetics and head and neck anaesthetics. But the other sort of facet to all of my work is coaching and tying coaching into well-being. I'm the well-being lead in my department. And that's how our paths crossed, isn't it, Caroline?
It did indeed. And I know, I'm so grateful they have, because whenever we chat, we always end up having such lovely, amazing conversations about, you know, non-medical things, usually, actually, things like creativity and writing and poetry. And I know that's what we're going to be thinking about today, the kind of healing power of creativity for doctors. But before we dive into that, let me ask you a question I ask all of my podcast guests. What does it mean to you to be a joyful doctor?
Yeah, a joyful doctor. Well, when I'm feeling joyful as a doctor, I think it's when I'm feeling connected to the people around me, so the patients and my colleagues. I feel like I belong. It's when I have the moments, and there are many, that I can derive meaning and pleasure from at work. And even when you're not having those moments, remembering what they are and why you're there is the thing that keeps me going back. And just having an appreciation for where I find myself, remembering where I've come from, what it took to get there, and what it means. When I can sort of remember those factors, that's when I feel like a joyful doctor.
Oh, I love that. And I really relate, as I think, well, many doctors, because it's not many of us that are doing this for glory or money or any of those things. I think a lot of us are in it for the meaning. I think it's the absolutely the right word, actually, the why we do it. And I hear such gratitude as well when you talk about, you know, appreciating where you've come from, what it's taken to get to where you are, the privilege, actually, of what we do. I've always felt my work was a real privilege and an honour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really relate to that. Can you tell us about a time perhaps when you weren't so joyful?
So there's been a few in my career, a few moments that spring to mind. I remember when I first went back after my second lot of maternity leave, enormous pressure that I placed on myself at that time as I was coming to the end of my training, a sense that I should be more than I was, better than I was, more confident than I was. And actually, that's when I first sort of found coaching and became a coachee and sort of saw the power of coaching then. I suppose more recently, you know, it's probably a time that many of us bring up when asked this question, would be around the time of the pandemic, because I felt an enormous sense of purpose then, particularly as an anaesthetist. You know, it was clear that there was going to be a great deal of work within anaesthesia and intensive care. And around exactly the same time, coincidentally or possibly probably not, I was diagnosed with a chronic autoimmune condition called axial spondyloarthropathy, or ankylosing spondylitis, as most people within the field certainly would know it. And I worked a good part of the pandemic, certainly the whole of the first wave, in an air boot. As the pandemic unfolded and my condition deteriorated, I ended up on biologic medication, which meant that I was shielding for a good part. And that was really difficult, I think, because all of those connections and all of that sort of sense of purpose just seemed to dissolve.
You've described, as you said, something that many, many doctors will have experienced. I know a lot of anaesthetists who felt very much they were in the right place at the right time, you know, with the right specialist skills to be incredibly helpful to people in need. But then to find yourself in a position not to be able to do that must have been just very, very difficult. A moral injury of sorts?
Absolutely. I really think it was. And there was a real sense that the timing was such that, you know, I've only just come up with this condition and I worried about what other people would think. It was difficult. And there were so many mixed feelings and all of that. So many beautiful things came out of it too. I'm very grateful for having more time during that period with my family at home and being able to spend time there in ways that other colleagues could not. But there was a real disconnect.
Yeah, and some guilt.
Lots of guilt.
Yeah, we saw an avalanche of guilt from doctors. I mean, when the pandemic came along, we sort of knew that doctors would struggle with a lot of trauma, a lot of grief, a lot of stress, anxiety, burnout, all of those things. But we didn't anticipate just how much guilt we would see. And we saw it in particularly those of us that couldn't do what we wanted to do to help for whatever reason. We were either isolating for our own health or our family's health, or those who'd just retired or gone on maternity leave or taken a long planned for sabbatical or, you know, something like that, who then felt such immense guilt. And I often refer to it as good guilt, though, because it's the guilt that a compassionate person feels. You know, it's the guilt of wishing you could do more, but you can't. You know, you haven't actually done anything wrong. You just wish you could be in two places at once or be able to help more.
It's a really nice way to think about it.
Yeah, well, I think often with guilt, people will say things like, you know, ditch the guilt, you shouldn't feel guilty. And I'm like, no, it's a really normal human thing. Actually, it shows you have a heart and you care. So I think we should be proud of that. But maybe just gently use it to reframe and think, what are we doing to help? Because, you know, I said to a lot of doctors then, and I still do now, those that need time off sick, you know, it might not be your day to help right now, but, you know, in the future, you will be able to help again. Your story also reminds me of one of my favourite quotes from Maya Angelou. I think the quote is, there's no greater burden than carrying an untold story inside you. And it makes me think of all of those doctors that are carrying those stories from the pandemic and from not just the pandemic, but from their junior doctor years, from their medical school training, that kind of collective trauma that we all experience as doctors, and how important it is that we have opportunities to share those stories.
I couldn't agree with you more, and my colleagues will know that I'm always sort of ringing the bell on storytelling, as it were, within my trust, and something that I got involved in very shortly after the pandemic and after returning to work 6 months or so later was Schwartz Rounds, which are a reflective session group run for all staff under the sort of umbrella group of the Point of Care Foundation. And the whole premise is storytelling. So we have staff members come up and there are storytellers. Specifically, we call them storytellers, not panelists. And they tell stories for around 5 minutes. And then we just facilitate an open group to reflect and comment on what resonates with them. And it's a really, really powerful forum.
We live our lives through stories, don't we? And we heal through stories. And when we're in isolation, that's when trouble sets in. Because I don't know about you, but when I've been struggling, trapped in my own head is the worst place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel that I'm not coping. I'm the worst, you know, doctor in the world. I shouldn't be doing this and so on and so forth. And actually, the moment we start to share those stories and experiences of what we've been through, and we start to hear that other people experience exactly the same things, it's just profoundly normalizing, isn't it, and validating. And
it absolutely is, and it's a means for being compassionate to ourselves and to each other. It allows us to connect with others. And there's a really wonderful quote, and I think I have to credit the Point of Care Foundation and possibly some work that they've had commissioned into Schwartz Rounds. And the quote is, stories are data with soul.
Stories are data with soul. That's wonderful. I have mixed emotions. I feel a bit sad because I think of medicine, I think of healthcare, I think of our training, and I think of how little room there is for that. You know, how progressively less room there is for that. The more you go through your training, the more you get into, you know, the job, the day-to-day jobbing of being a doctor, and the more and more responsibility as you progress with your career. And that there is less feels to me, like that there is less and less room to leave room for the stories and the soul.
And I think that is born out of a practical sort of situational sense. You know, I think we're together less. There's less time now spent perhaps in a mess.
We saw that in the pandemic. There was we called it the knocking on doors phenomenon, but particularly sort of GPs or those working in departments where they could just go and knock on someone's door and say, look, could I just run this by you? Or this thing just happened. Could we have a chat? Or you're making coffee and you just, and actually that disappeared.
Yeah.
And I think we haven't fully reclaimed that back post-pandemic.
I don't think we have. And I think some of that will be, you know, there's so much to embrace about that sort of move to digital working. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those moments would have happened before and after a meeting in the corridor, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. a lot of, it's pros and cons, isn't it, for all these things. But it is really important to sort of hear and hold the stories that those around us have got to tell. And I'm a massive fan of Brené Brown. She talks about connectedness. And one of the sort of main parts of that is story stewardship, which if I may, I'll just read what she says. She says it means honouring the sacred nature of the story, the ones we share and the ones we hear, and knowing that we've been entrusted. And I always remind everybody of that at the beginning of one of our rounds. So I just think it's so important that we honour those stories.
That's kind of what happens every time you with a patient, isn't it? Like they honour you with their story and you are then the steward of it. And
absolutely.
So how do you find it now as an anaesthetist working in a busy DGH, as you said? Like you've got, there's the swatch rounds, there's, it sounds like you're back to doing a bit of face-to-face working, so there might be a little bit of that kind of chat and connection going on again. But yeah, how do you find it in medicine at the moment as an anaesthetist?
So I mean, all my work now is back face-to-face, certainly all my clinical work and the majority of my other work as well. And how do I find it? I would be not authentic if I was to say I find it easy. It's tough. It's really tough. Yeah. And I've worked through lots of things in lots of different ways, coaching, talking therapies, and just, I guess, self sort of exploration as well, and having an awareness of myself and what helps me tick along. It's tough. I think resources are more stretched. Mm-hmm. Morale gets dented, and we work in a really intense environment, especially somewhere like maternity. You know, everything's happening very fast. It's a very dynamic place.
And the stakes are very high, aren't they?
Stakes are very high.
And obviously in a good way, you know, new life coming into the world and these incredible moments in people's lives, but also when things go wrong, they go wrong very quickly and very catastrophically. And we saw that in Adam Kay's book, and we know, don't we, as doctors, that is happening to doctors up and down the country today. You know, those experiences of just suddenly finding yourself in the middle of a very traumatic storm.
Absolutely.
Watching ER lately. I was a fan of it when I was growing up, and for a long time I haven't been able to watch medical dramas, but just recently for some reason I felt able to, and I'm just really struck by, I mean, obviously on television they increase the intensity with the music and the lighting and the drama of the moment, but actually it's art imitating life, isn't it? Because that is what it's like. I remember when the Adam Kay's book was made into that the TV show This Is Going to Hurt, and a lot of non-medics kept saying to their medic friends, is it really like that? It can't really be like that, can it? And we were like, and worse, because it's not as glamorous. You know,
but I think what I try and hold on to more now, and this doesn't come naturally, this is something that we have to practice, is kind of realizing that those moments of meaning and those beautiful moments, and you know, when I was talking about meaning earlier, I was picturing, you know, all those wonderful cesarean section moments when the babies reach up out of their abdomen. You know, those are really special moments, and when I'm with the parents, my side of the drapes, and I'm that calm voice that's guided them through the process, and I know, realize what a privilege those moments are, and they are genuinely awe-inspiring, repeatedly so. all of them, but so many of them. Mm. And those moments are the sort of antidote, I suppose, to the other moments, which are genuinely traumatic. And I think that you don't have one without the other. It's, I always think of that Disney film Inside Out, which is all about emotions inside somebody's head, and they're trying to kind of do away with the sad emotion because she brings it all down and she's such a buzzkill, but they realize that without her they can't have all the other happy emotions.
Absolutely. There's a new one out. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I haven't, but I can't wait. The there's a teenage version.
Okay.
And they have like fear, anxiety and things like that popping up. So that looks really great as well. No, I agree. I think it's an important part of doctors' well-being for me, actually, is to role model and to encourage doctors to hold both the good and the bad at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because our brains don't like to do that. Our human mm-hmm. brains prefer to be in one camp or the other. We prefer to be either really happy and carefree and or really stressed and, you know, finding it difficult because it's easier. Whereas it's so difficult when we're faced with both. You know, when we're faced with, I don't know, the pandemic where you're, you know, potentially saving lives and having that incredibly rewarding experience on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's very traumatic. Or you're having a really good day, but your patient's having a bad day, or vice versa. You know, like how do you, and I'm constantly talking with doctors and helping them to hold both at the same time. And I kind of feel like creativity and storytelling and is one way that we can help ourselves to do that.
Absolutely. I think we need an outlet.
Yeah. And I know you like to write poetry.
That's something that's sort of come in the last few years, really. It was, it started during my coach training, which I was doing as a way of doing something productive while I wasn't working during the pandemic or just after, but also a long sort of pursued dream to be a coach. And I started doing sort of thought dumps, you know, just writing everything down that I was thinking. And it was coming out in quite a poetic way. And I thought, I think I can knit this together as a poem. And they've not been prolific, but
Vouch for the quality of them. They've very kindly shared one or two of them with me, and I've been really struck by the power of the words and how it allows you to sum up hugely complex emotions and situations and experiences with quite a few words, actually. Mm. And how at Joyful Doctor we do sort of a lot of Joyful Doctor art and creativity based stuff, and you know, I've seen it with people doing sculptures or paintings or drawings or writing, you know, more creative writing or anything really that taps into that kind of slightly more left-sided brain approach to assessing, isn't it?
And absolutely, and
very therapeutic. So what would you say to doctors out there, if this was your kind of last chance to talk to doctors out there who might be struggling, like what would you want them to hear? What would your message to them be?
I think my message would be for them to find some space, do what they need to do to find some space to sit down and think. And that could be through coaching or talking to a friend, contacting organisations like the Joyful Doctor, to really think about their meaning and think about their why. My message would be, you know, that they need to work out what's right for them. You know, we all only have one life and this is it right now. So don't want situations where people feel regret for just plugging on. But actually, with some careful thought and guidance and a bit of direction, perhaps, people can create a joyful life within medicine. I think it's really useful to sort of keep certain frameworks in mind. And I've recently been talking about the PERMA model with my trainees, with my wellbeing hat on. You know, it's been quite a negative environment lately with industrial action and the other side of the pandemic. And it's quite important that we all remember that our thoughts really do affect our bodies and those people around us. So trying to maintain that sort of positive outlook. So I'm quite interested in positive psychology. And I would just urge people to really think about engaging in the things at work that give them that spark, because that's where they're going to find their meaning.
I love that. And are there any particular resources that you would recommend for doctors out there? Any particular books or podcasts or TV shows or anything at all that you think?
Oh, many. Well, I mentioned earlier that I'm a massive Brené Brown fan. I sort of derive so much meaning from her work, particularly the Atlas of the Heart book is a lovely pick up and put down book.
Like a dictionary of human emotions.
It really
it?
Is. Really is.
And I always signpost people to her TED Talks. If you've never come across her, they're 10-15 minute bite size, incredible, multi-million views kind of TED Talks, which just hit the nail on the head. So,
and podcasts, you know, there's lots of fabulous podcasts out there. One of the ones that I love listening to at the moment, other than yours, Caroline, is Mel Robbins. She's a motivational speaker, coach. She has a lot of really good stuff to say. And books, the one that I've read to the end, because I'm not very good at finishing books, The Light We Carry by Michelle Obama. I loved that book.
Oh, what an amazing title as well. Absolutely. May I just say, I haven't read that one yet, but it's on my list. Thank you so much. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, if they wanted to work with you as a coach themselves, like how might they do that?
I think the easiest way would be through the Joyful Doctor.
Yeah, you can drop us an email at teamjoy@joyfuldoctor.com anytime and ask to work with Katie Goff. And that just leaves me to say a huge thank you, Katie, to coming on the podcast, and hope to have you on again one day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caroline. It's been really lovely talking to you and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joyful Doctor podcast. To find out how the Joyful Doctor can help you or any caring professionals you know, please visit joyfuldoctor.com or check out my book, Permission, How to Feel, Heal and Thrive in a Challenging World, available via our website or Amazon now.